Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Bikini and the Brain with Ashley Kay.
Hi. Hello. How's everyone doing out there? It's good to see you guys.
Sorry, I had some echoing on the one of the mics was had an echoing.
Well, I didn't hear it.
Oh, it was like in the ears, it was like sounding echoey. So guess what, guys? We just got back literally hours ago from...
That's a bit of a stretch.
What was it?
Well, I mean, maybe.
Yeah, I'm like 10 hours in.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm like 10 hours in from Orlando.
It's been solid 15 hours since I've
okay. So if you guys were watching, Ashley competed this weekend in the Clash Girl Power. Mm-hmm. She's got this little cute diamond medal here. I like these little medals.
Everything's pink themed there.
Yeah. Yes. She also has this belt. Why do you have this belt? Did you buy this belt, Ashley?
No, they just gave it to me. Huh. But I love it. It's really pretty.
I think they only give it to the winners. Is that correct?
Actually, I don't know. Maybe they don't.
Oh, yeah.
You're right. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention.
So, yes, they do only give it to the they give it to the overall champions in Open, too. But for the pro show, yes, only to the winners. So you, Ashley, got her first win of the year, first show of the year.
Yeah. Good to be back. It's been way too long. I always worry when I come back, especially after this long of a break. I was like, what if I lost my shine or my sparkle and I have to like start my career from scratch? I don't know. You know, it's, you see it when people come back, maybe they take a year or so off. They look a little bit rusty. I was afraid, like, what if I come in rusty and I'm a little bit. And I was. I think at prejudging, I was a little bit rusty, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
I was way more fluid and relaxed at finals, but I was a bit rusty.
Yeah. We'll go into that too, because it was, there was a different, just smoother, just smoother. And it looked like, first show back, you got to get that ring rust off of you. So, this is cool. We could talk about it with everyone today. We wanted to go into it, go over the show recap, talk about how the show went. And I think that's cool that you talk about those things, like getting back on stage, like even someone as experienced as you, as many shows as you, that first show back is still things you got to work out, So, how do you feel actually, let's go into it. Obviously went to the show, a lot of nerves.
Yes.
Coming back after a longer off season for you.
Mm-hmm. I feel good. I feel like, I got that one out of the way. Like I was extra nervous for this one, which I'm usually a little bit nervous for shows, which is totally a common thing. And especially like a lot of people think, oh, you compete so much, you never get nervous. This is just like another day at the office for you. And I'm like, honestly, I still get nervous for all the shows. And that's okay to be a little bit nervous because it shows you care. If you didn't care, you'd just be like, all right, let's get this over with, but it does mean something to me. So I do get a little bit nervous, but I always try to turn that nervous energy into like just positive look at me energy, on stage, just like own it. But I did a better job of that at finals. I was a little more relaxed at finals, a little bit nervous still, but a little more relaxed. Prejudging, I was a little uptight. I feel like I was a little like, especially with these new eyes, new vision. I was like, I don't know if this is going to make a lot of difference on stage or not. I practice, with my new eyes. And it's been easier for me to pose and stuff, but I didn't know if that would translate to the stage as much. But I was a little conservative for prejudging, I think, a little too conservative.
Yeah. And it didn't show, just so you know, too, it didn't show to someone who doesn't know. Mm-hmm. I could see it because I saw you pose so much this year, especially.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like, oh, she's rusty, So it didn't show, but it if you compared the morning to night, you'd be like, oh, wow. Yeah, she was rusty, actually. It's significantly different at night.
Yeah, yeah, finals was a lot better. I was like, okay, these eyes got, they help me now. I'm good. I could do this.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't know, throughout the year, last 3 years now already?
Since 2020 was my first eye surgery, my strabismus eye surgery. And then I think it started to recess by 2021 again.
Yeah. And so, for the last couple of years, it'd be like scenario based, based on how much sleep she got, how much of the lights were like in her eye.
Oh,
it would, show. So if like a show was overhead light and it was open light, it'd probably be a little bit easier. But if it was like direct lights, you never know how that show's going to go.
So we need to back up because they have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So I had double vision. Yeah. So that's the issue I had was double vision. had strabismus eye surgery to correct it. But on stage, I would 24/7, not even just on stage, but I see double vision 24/7. So I could not see 24, or I could not see double vision no matter how hard I tried. But when I was tired, or if we had like strobe lights flashing, that would make my eye scenario even worse. So like at the Olympia, whenever all the lights are shining at you, it's like, oh, my eyes don't know where to focus. It makes everything worse. So I got the surgery to correct the double vision. Sorry. I just wanted to say that because I know I talk about it a lot, the surgery, but we can't assume that they listen to every episode or, you know, so
yeah,
eyes are a lot better now. So it wasn't LASIK. I know a lot of people think every time you say eye surgery, they're like, LASIK? Oh yeah, I had that like 2 years ago. I'm like, no, not LASIK. It's strabismus eye surgery. So they cut like the muscles in your eyes to adjust so they can coordinate better with each other. And I'm better at making eye contact now too for that. I can look at the camera without seeing double. So awesome.
So yeah, so it was the first show back seeing singular, which is awesome. And I think that is going to be such a huge, you know what it is too? That's going to be a thing. This could be for a lot of people. Maybe it's not your eyes, but it's just that one thing that makes you nervous. Maybe you stumbled one time on stage and you're always worried that you're going to stumble again. That's just something you don't have to worry about anymore. Cause now we don't have to go into shows saying, oh, I hope these lights aren't going to be right in my eyes and make me see worse than double vision. Cause that was a concern. One of the things that we can just get rid of is cause last year was like, oh, these lights, every time we'd be like, oh, these lights, I don't know. Are they going to do those one lights that kind of go like this all over the stage and it's going to make it worse or whatever. So nice to have that, that little thing, but yeah, you could see you were super flowy. You looked really relaxed at night. You're back to the old Ashley, you know, on stage, killing it as normal. But yeah, in the morning you could see you're just a little reserved and, kind of like you're getting your feet wet again, you know?
Yeah. And I want to also point this out too, cause it's something that we've been noticing with these pro shows is pros. If you're listening to this, be prepared because like, for example, for Girl Power, they're like, you guys can't do T-walks, no T-walks allowed. So in my routine, I do have a T-walk, which means I walk to the back and then I walk forward to start off my routine. And they said we weren't able to do that. And somebody was standing there. So we had to go right to the box. And we noticed in the Wasatch, you said that for time purposes, they were like, you guys can't do the T-walk. So seems like in some of the shows, for one reason or another, whether it be time or just like the placement of where the good lighting is, you might not be able to do a T-walk. So just be prepared to practice your routine with and without that.
Yeah. And that's actually started being a common thing. So especially if you see a show, so if you're a pro and you're seeing a show that has, let's say over 25 people, you can kind of almost assume, especially if it's a pro-am show, you can almost assume they're going to get rid of the T-walk for you.
Or at least during like finals, or especially during finals.
Yeah. And at finals at this show, they only had the top 10 do their full routines.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. So a lot of things coming down to the time, and we've been talking about this for a couple of years, and they've recently started really talking about it the last couple of years too, with shortening the routines, even saying at the Olympia, you know, shorten the routines. So just something to keep an eye on, you know, if you're a pro, have your long routine and then have your shortened routines that might come up. So just making sure you have both of those options. And if you're an amateur, remember that too. You know, a lot of these shows, they're being really strict about the time because, you know, we're out of the 2020 years. Shows are happening. People are showing up to shows. They are, you know, there's just the volume of people are there and they got to do something about the volume or you'll never get out of there. Mm-hmm. So make sure to keep your...
That's a funny comment. We just got a funny comment.
So, you know what comment I like here? So Irina says, I wrote it multiple times already, but you really look like Miss Universe.
Oh, I wasn't pointing to that.
I know
one.
That. I know
oh.
that.
Well, thank you.
With your study, but she actually, you won the Miss Universe. You won the universe, the overall, right?
Well, I think they're talking about like the not bodybuilding.
Oh, you're talking about the not bodybuilding.
I don't know. I won Team Universe.
Yes.
In 2012. It's not Miss Universe, but yeah.
Yeah, but you won the overall, so you won the Miss Team
in 2012 Team Universe in New Jersey. So yeah. In Tennessee.
That's pretty funny. So
that's where I got my pro card.
Yes, I know. So with that going into the overall show, 35 competitors, right?
It's a big show.
Yeah, big show. The last two shows have been pretty huge, you know, big shows. So for all of you fans out there, you're getting your money's worth if you want to go down there and buy a ticket and watch the show, because you could see, learn a lot, watch a lot of routines. Small things with changes this year with posing. Have you seen anything differences with the posing? The only thing I've seen is just the arm positions that kind of carried over from last year.
Yeah, just a little shorter and just be like we were just talking about, be prepared for short, long, be prepared to T-walk and prepared be prepared not to T-walk. And for amateurs, never T-walking, just so you guys know. Yeah. Just to clarify, no T-walking allowed in the amateur or walking back or anything.
Yeah. And in the, in terms of the, you know, every year you're seeing kind of evolutions with posing and whatnot. Wasn't a big difference from last year to this year from what I've seen anything. The only like thing that maybe a lot of people aren't catching on to, and you'll still see some pros not doing it, is this, the elbow position in that back pose where they're still just a little bit too wide open. So you'll see them in the back pose, just a little bit too wide on the elbows, but it is really a lot more tucked back over the last, like since the last half of last year, which carried over into this year. So a little bit more of a narrow back pose on the elbow position. So you're not opening up and seeing those triceps as much as you would before, especially a few years back where we're really opening up and trying to get that width. You're just not seeing that so much anymore. And when we're talking about this show, I want to go into, you know, how the show went, the way the show was, how you felt, of course, mm-hmm. like any changes that we saw, and anything like that, anything else you're seeing at these shows, at least as of late?
Well, I've only competed in one, but it looks like, you know, just like what you just said, nothing too drastic. Just be prepared for short and long. That's all I got to say. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So morning show happened, came out, you did the initial, for you guys that are watching the shows, they did the initial comparisons and then they did the routines. That seems to be the way that things are going to be going for almost all the shows that I've been
That's
at. That's
how
year.
It's been a few years, I think. Yeah. I actually can't remember the last time I had a show where we didn't do group comparisons first, which I do like. I like the group comparisons because, well, first it gives the judges a chance to look at you. So if you guys don't know, group comparisons means you're lined up numeric or alphabetically, right? So me being Kaltwasser K, I'm usually in the middle somewhere, which I like. I oftentimes split the line, actually. I think I was close to splitting the line, which means like half the girls on this diagonal to left, half to the right. Anyway, that gives the judges a really good chance to look at you on stage with the other girls before your routine. But on the athlete side, I will say I like the group comparisons because I can test out the surface of the stage. So when you walk on a stage, you don't really get a chance to feel it out. You know, it's not like, oh yeah, this is athlete meeting. Let's put on our heels and try that. It's not really a thing. So the group comparisons give me a chance to be like, okay, this surface is slick, or this is carpet. It's dragging. It's like a bumpy, there's lines. So I can kind of see and scan like how I can adjust my routine. Because if it's, for example, if it's a super slick stage, probably need to slow down even more because when I pivot, I'm going to like over rotate, you know? So having that, test run with the stage surface is great for the athletes. And then again, for the judges, just gives them another chance to look at you. Because I think when you're looking at a compare, or you're looking at somebody's presentation, you see just them on stage. And then without the group and the group comparisons, you're like, well, this person had a great routine. She looks good in a routine, but maybe she's super small in comparison to the other girls are super big. And they wouldn't really know that till it's almost like too late. Like when you give call outs, because if you see one girl just by herself, you might not notice that. So the group comparisons are great. They'll take us out in groups of like anywhere from 5 to 8. Sometimes I think for last show it was like 8, and just alphabetically in these groups, like just take a look at us before we start our routine. So.
Yeah. And something good you said was it gives the judges time to really assess. And that's the thing, especially if you're a pro and you're doing that. And even sometimes in the amateurs, when you're doing that, actually a lot of times in the amateurs, if a judge isn't looking up at you when you're doing your routine, like don't take offense to it, because what they're doing is they're trying to figure out who the winners are and who's going to be in that first call out. So we got to remember there's at this show 30 plus people, right? So they're trying to figure out, okay, who's going to be in this first call out. So how it works is, you get the comparison comes in, you know, you say, oh, Ashley looks good today. You know, whoever looks good today, they look good today. And the judges, there's 5 of them there at that show. I think it was 5. And they write down who they think is going to be in that first call out. Right. And then they pass it in down to the middle. And then everyone kind of takes they look at all the scores and they're like, okay, all 5 judges had Ashley in the first call out. All 5 judges have whoever in the first call out. Right. And then maybe like 6th, 7th, and 8th was and even 5th. Is a toss up, and there's a bunch of numbers that are getting thrown in there, and they're trying to figure out, okay, 3 judges had number 8 in, and 4 judges had number whoever in, and only 2 judges had number whoever in. So then they're calculating. So anyway, they're doing, that's what's happening at the judging table. So that's why I like when they do the comparisons first, because you get a really accurate consensus on who should be in that first call out. So that's what they're doing. But just so you know, they're working. They're not like ignoring you. They're
writing
you.
Down stuff too.
Yeah, they're not ignoring you, because I get it a lot. Girls will say, oh, they weren't even looking at me. And I'm like, well,
no, it's just that maybe one time they were looking down, but they're looking at you. Just yeah. Their eyes aren't glued at you every single second. They're like looking up, looking down, writing stuff down, being like, hey, this girl looks good. Yeah. You know, just so they're conversing, just making sure they have the right athletes to choose from. But yeah, I think like with the group too, it's like you get to see who like stands out amongst the group. So
exactly. Yeah. Know? So, and remember, you're always going to be, it's always about who you're compared next to. You yourself, when you're on stage, there's no one to judge you next to. So, you know, you can look for things. Oh, are her glutes better today? We saw her a couple weeks ago. Or, you know, you could see some obvious things. But when everyone's really, really good, you really do need for them to be next to someone to be able to compare them and really like judge them. So yeah, if they're looking down, just remember they're doing some things, especially if you're in the earlier names. The earlier names get it the worst, because they're really calculating right at the beginning, trying to figure it out, but they're still looking up and down. They're still going to give you that time. But just so you know, as an amateur, as a pro, doesn't mean anything. Don't let that carry your momentum into the next round of judging, because they got to figure it out. You know, it's a hard job, especially with bikini division, I think is the least obvious winners. It's just so hard to pick a true winner in bikini. You know, it's really, really difficult. In bodybuilding, it's a lot easier, especially at like the any show outside of like, you know, the Olympia, because you get huge gaps. But in bikini, it's like the gaps are like micro gaps. Like the gaps are so small. So anyway, so that's how that went to the judging, did your routine. Anything about that?
Yeah. Like I said, I was still a little bit unsure getting on stage. So it was a little too conservative, I think, with the, just like my flow in my presentation, which sucks, because it's like all the like professional videos were like of prejudging. And that's like the routine I didn't like. I liked my final routine. I didn't like prejudging. But anyway, after prejudging was over with, I always, you know, look at videos or pictures you take, and then I get tagged in them. And I'll look and I'll go with Adam and I'll be like, hey, I think I need to fix this for finals or this or this. And, you know, there is some things that I guess fixed or changed a bit for finals after seeing it. And one thing you noticed was like my angle of my shoulders were a little bit off. We noticed that after prejudging. So I fixed that for finals. You know, I think that, and this is something I noticed, maybe you didn't, you're a guy. I did not like the way I did my hair and makeup for prejudging. I actually, after prejudging, just washed my face, my whole makeup off, and redid my hair. But I noticed that like in my makeup, I think my eyeliner was a little bit too dark for prejudging. I kind of looked like Cher a little bit. My hair was a little too straight. It was a little too dark. It just gave like a Cher vibe, you know, not what I was going for. But for finals, I think I fixed it. It looked a lot better. So it's like something, you know, I just learned. I didn't learn it. I guess I forgot about it. Like, oh, how to, you know, how dark is too dark and how much bump is good for the hair. So I bumped my hair up for finals, fixed my eyeliner, and I felt a lot better. I felt more relaxed. And, you know, just, you know, usually finals anyway are a little less stressful, because what's done is done for the most part for prejudging. Not all the time, but for the most part, prejudging is where it happens, is where the judging happens, unless there's something that's a score that's super close and they need to take a second look. But with that being said, finals were way more relaxed. I got my things fixed. I felt I looked better. And
Yeah, this was one of those shows where I'm like, well, if they go into finals and they judge finals at this one, I'm not going to be upset about that. I was like, I'm actually looking forward to, she's more flowy. She's going to be more comfortable. I got the jitters out. You know, it's because you're coming back, but a lot of the people on that stage, you know, they're a few shows in for that year. They're already practiced in. So yeah, it's always that first one back is always a tough one, especially when, you know, we talk about with you, you say you're a good maintainer, but a hard loser, you know?
And so, I'm a little embarrassed to say, because I hate when people brag about this, but I'm actually embarrassed to say it was a little bit of a grind to get me there. Initially when I was prepping, I would have liked to compete in the Wasatch, which is just like an hour flight or even 45 minute flight. And it's on the same time zone, right? Is it?
It was the same time zone.
Anyway, Utah, Nevada, we're close. I would have loved to do the Wasatch. But then as we got closer, I'm like, shoot, I don't think I'm ready. So then I actually took an opportunity to do an appearance at an expo the same day. So it's like, okay, I guess we're going to Florida then. let's go across the country and hopefully I'll be ready in another week. Just give me another week to get ready. So that's what we had to do. It was a grind to get there, more so than usual. And, you know, I guess we timed it a little poorly because I never take that long of off from the stage. So I maybe was unsure how my body was going to respond. I thought it would respond a lot quicker than it was. But it was being a little stubborn, you know, it was being a little stubborn. So we needed that extra week. I'm glad I decided to wait because I don't think I would have looked, I don't think I would have been my best at Wasatch, but I'm glad we did what we did. So it got the job done, but I know I can do better though.
Yeah, you know, first show back, that's how it goes. You build off of that first show. And that's the same thing with everyone out there. You guys should always be trying to make improvements from show to show and nail that look. And then it's easy to make improvements from show to show if you're not setting yourself back and you just keep progressing throughout the year. Yeah, and then the other thing too is we have to deal with going out to, what was the humidity out there, 46?
Like 50% almost.
Yes,
it was humidity from like the teens here to, yeah, humid.
Yeah, so going over there, we've learned that you got to be kind of extra lean. It's more the desert than it is anything else. It's like, because out here, it's so dry that you're like, your skin dries out and you always look like you look a little leaner out here. Girls come out here. It's funny, I've had other coaches, like Paul, for example, he'll be like, he's like, what do you do? When I go to Vegas, every time the girls just start leaning out way more because the skin, he's like, do you have the opposite effect? I'm like, yeah, I have the opposite effect. We go from here to there, they get softer and softer.
Yeah.
They get more water.
Yeah. He's so like, if you're close to being too lean and you go to Vegas from like a humid climate, you're gonna be too lean.
Yeah, you'll be shredded. You have to just start eating. That's what happened. Remember with Elizabeth. Yeah. It was so crazy. She came out like 10 days before her first show. And she was fine and all her check-ins. And then all of a sudden I'm like, what's going on? You're like, she's just eating. So, but in Florida, it's the opposite effect. So you almost have to be too lean out here to go over there to soften up. And, that did hit you a little bit with that. You know, you could feel like you feel it on your skin.
Yeah. Like you're wearing lotion and you're not.
I don't think people would know unless they're from the desert. Like if you live here, you get a little dry if you're not lotioning.
Oh, yeah. People's lips start to chap up after they're here for a few days. Yeah. Even I will say, coming from Florida to here, I had to put, I mean, that and mixed with, I have spray tan residue on still. But I kid you not, last night I had to put on 4 layers of lotion before I went to bed. Then I woke up dry. And then I had to put on 2 more this morning. It's insane. Like my body was just like soaking up the lotion. Just, I was so dry. I was like, miserable. I was like itching too. I was like, oh my gosh, my poor skin.
You poor girls with your skin on.
It hurts.
Yeah.
It does. You have to like bathe in lotion.
The pro tan really beats you up. All the tanning stuff just beats you up. It's just like, so everything, you know, we were looking at her pictures or even her check-in pictures on Wednesday. She posted, went out there. Got a little bit softer in Florida. Just a little bit softer. It looks like if you look in the morning, just a tiny bit softer. And then at the night show, it seems like everything kind of came together at the night show. Like your body got used to it. She didn't have much fluids from morning to night. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what did it, which is not something we usually do,
but you got to adjust because every peak week is going to be different.
That was a crazy one.
That was a weird one for me. And I really didn't carb up or anything. Even on show day, barely had anything to eat. I wasn't really hungry, thank God, but like, just, so you got to do what you got to do. And, you know, coming into the show, I know it wasn't my super leanest, but I did think I would have come in a little bit leaner than I did, but it's not like necessarily a bad thing. Cause like, it's good to try different looks and see how much I can push with the fullness and softness. Like this is going to be an experiment. Let's see how far I can push this. And my feedback was to get a little bit leaner. And I totally agree. I could have been a little bit tighter. I think I look better a little bit tighter. So it wasn't necessarily a bad look. It's not like, you know, when I say the judge's feedback is to tighten up a little bit, that doesn't mean like, oh my gosh, lose 5 pounds of just fat. Yeah. It's just like a little bit tighter. And that's for me. Now, everybody holds body fat differently. Everyone looks better at different percentages of body fat and conditioning. Some people can pull off this softer look a little bit better. Others, not so much. We already know this kind of like solidified what we already knew.
Yeah.
They like me just a little bit more conditioned.
I'm really glad we tried it though. Really glad it happened.
Yeah. So a little more conditioned. So probably somewhere between this look and the Olympia look is where, or even Japan, I think, is when we nailed it. I came into that like eating a lot versus this one. I just, since I was fighting to get as lean as I was, I wasn't able to like push like a lot of food towards the end. So I'm not sure how much of an effect on that, but luckily I was like popping the whole week. Even I wasn't doing many carbs or many calories, and I was still like popping. So it's like, why force it if it might have a negative effect? You know, what if I start to spill and all that? So not my typical peak week, but hey, we learned something. We tried it. And I just need to get a little tighter. And that doesn't mean that was a bad look. They're not like, oh my God, you know, what happened? No, it was still a good look. They still liked it. Obviously I won. So there, it's more like when I ask for feedback, I'm like, yes, I know I won. My score was perfect. So there wasn't like a dispute, but tell me what I can do to be the absolute best for me. So when I approach it like that, they're going to be extra picky. So maybe another girl with the same amount of softness wouldn't get that feedback, but we already know I look better, a little bit leaner. And yeah, the reason being is we all carry it differently. And some girls like lose their pop when they get more conditioned. I think I pop more when I'm more conditioned. Yeah. And some girls will start to like striate if they get too conditioned. When I'm conditioned, I don't really striate. So why not? Just a little bit leaner, nothing crazy, just a smidgen tad. So I know when I put that in my post, they were like, what? But I like the softer look. And I actually think I got a lot of like, oh, I loved the softer, fuller look on you. I think I probably got a lot more compliments of that than I usually do, because you always have somebody in your inbox saying, I loved, that was the best look, but people liked it. I mean, I think I look a little bit leaner personally. So it wasn't my favorite, but it's still good. Yeah. I'm glad I tried it.
Yeah, it was a good, I'm glad we tried it, especially trying it in front of different judges that are going to be at the Olympia too. That's what's important. And I think what people don't understand is throughout the year, if you're going to compete as much as Ashley is, you're not going to be 100% every single time. That's, you shoot for 100, like an absolute 100% at the big ones if you can, but even then it's still hard. And that the other ones you're always shooting for it, but it's like, you know, if you're doing 15 times, you're not going to peak 15 times in a year. It's just not possible. Right. So, trying to always bring your best, but it's good when it doesn't happen and you're at 98% or so. Like at finals was pretty close though. Finals, you really did look awesome, you know? Mm-hmm. And then in the morning, you know, a couple percent and off of that, but still good to see in front of the judges. Hey, do you like this look? Like we're trying to come up with this perfect recipe come Olympia time. Yes. So it's like, okay, what do we need to do to improve for the Olympia? Is it this look? Because it could have been the other way around. It could have been like,
whoa, this is perfect. Yeah. Stay here. Don't change.
We both walk away scratching our heads like, okay, I guess we got to try to replicate this, which is going to be harder than to replicate what we're used to. Right. Mm-hmm. But a couple of things, like when you're doing peak weeks and stuff, things happen. So what I've been, you know, trying to think, and I talked to Ashley about it a little earlier before this podcast too, I was like, okay, why was it the humidity that we got a little bit softer from Wednesday, or was it that you were dieting hard and we haven't had that many carbs as a reload yet, and so you're more sensitive to reloading those carbs? We didn't have a lot of carbs on Friday, but it was more than she's had for a while. So did it just take longer, and by the time finals rolled around, did she finally get all those in, or was it humidity, or was it not drinking that much fluids in between? So there's a lot of variables that it could have been that caused the extra little bit of tightening at the finals. And then, so it's like, you know, peak weeks are going to be different. You're going to have to remember these things, keep your notes on them, you know, make sure to not take any additional risk if you can eliminate risk. So those are some of the factors that went into it. That's why every peak week is going to be different, because it's easy to write it down, say, oh yeah, last year at the Olympia, we have that peak week. That's awesome. Let's just do that. Here you go. Like, I wish that was the way it worked, but everything changes. Your sensitivities change.
Yes.
You know, if you haven't had carbs for a while, of course, you're going to be absorbing them different than if you're having them every single day, right? Mm-hmm. So everything changes. So
it's like a total 180 of the prep I did for Japan. So as I've explained on here a few different times, like when after Olympia, it just seemed like my metabolism was on fire, and just like no matter what I ate, it wouldn't stick. And I was just getting so lean, right? Without even like trying. I wasn't even doing cardio. I did not do any cardio like for weeks before Hawaii and Japan, but my body's just like revved up. So I remember even in Japan, I was just like stuffing myself with mochi, because like even then I was still so lean. And then I tried like, oh my gosh, I'm still so lean and I'm eating all this. And then we tried like let's a whole bunch of sodium like the night before too, just to get a little bit softer, a little bit fuller. Luckily I pulled it off in Japan. I think that was a very good look. And I think that's probably what the judges would want, is that a little bit fuller and softer than my Olympia look, but still leaner than last weekend. So I think Japan is the sweet spot. My look there, I competed there in November, by the way, so it's been a while. But it's, yeah, we're learning things and learning about our bodies. And even for you guys, your peak weeks aren't always going to be the same. So whatever peak week you had for one show might be completely different from the next. So that was the case with me. This is not my usual. Usually I'm way more, usually peak weeks are like super easy. I just coast on in. This was not the case this time. So, but it got the job done and I think I still looked great.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, I'm really happy about it. You know, we have, where are you at now, Ashley? What's the number?
44.
44. So,
6 to go before I turn into a tardigrade instead of a cockroach.
Yes. This is tardigrade from the cockroach. So an ambitious goal, which would be crazy to see. It's just such it's so unrealistic to say that, just to even like, if I didn't know you and I didn't know that was even happening right now, for someone to say that, I would be like, dude, what are you talking? I'd be like, what are you talking about? Like 50, you're lucky if you compete 50 times in your life. Like, but 50 wins is nuts to the craziest goal. I don't think anyone will ever match it again after that. It's pretty ambitious.
I want to make sure no one does.
Yeah. Just set it so high that you
open
just,
wins, by the way, IFBB Pro open wins.
Open wins. Yes. Where there's, you know, 30 people, 25 people, you know, you'll get a lot of shows that'll have like smaller amounts. Like if you did, let's say like a Masters or so, and had like 3 people, 5 people at the smaller ones or whatever, but open is the hard one. 50 open wins. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. So, we'll see. We'll see if you can get there, you know?
I'm going to try my darndest. So I was like thinking, like, even if I get like 4 before the Olympia, maybe I can snag up like a few after Olympia and I'd be good to go. So 6 more to go, you know?
Yeah. It's,
you know,
it's wild. It's wild. But it's fun. It makes it fun to have that goal. You know, everyone has.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a
crazy challenge.
It's a crazy challenge. Crazy challenge. So anyway, yeah, congrats on that. We're hanging our medals on this drywall outside. I was telling Ashley, I was like, I don't know how heavy these are, because we have so many of these medals now on the wall. I don't know if the wall could support it. So with goals to crash the wall, I have to get a new wood wall instead of drywall. It's pretty funny. So anything else, any other takeaways from the show?
This show was awesome. So Joe Pishkula, the promoter of the show, he does the Clash series. He really takes care of the athletes. And we got so many goodies, like in our bags, we got the little bear. Everything was like pink themed. Like it was such a great show. Great competitors. There was like 5 Olympians in that show, I think. But this is a big show. Like this wasn't just like, you know, a few girls. No, this was loaded. So it's cool to see everyone coming out early in the season to compete. They're all anxious. You know, I think a lot of people like to compete in the summertime too, because the weather is more motivating, but I had such a great time. I'm so glad I did the show, you know, and we learned a lot. We learned a lot of nuggets, lot of nuggets. And a lot of people wonder why I compete so much. And well, I love it for sure. I have a goal. That's another reason. But also every time we compete, we learn something. And even though I've competed so many times, I still learn things. Like I'm like, okay, I can do that better for next time. Okay, I won't do that again. And sometimes these little things, they might be so minor, like, oh, why did I keep my hair on my shoulder? You know, little things. But the little things add up over time. And some things it's like, I knew, but I forgot. And I always like to say this to you, no show will ever be 100%. I'm going to make a little error here and there. No one's ever going to just like kill every little thing. I'm going to do a little misstep or a little something. But you know, with all things considered, this went pretty smooth. I'm happy, super happy about the show. And it's kind of cool, you know, to see like me with the different looks of like throughout the years, you know, trying my best to keep up with the standards. So trying full looks, trying a little leaner. We're trying it all. So we got to see for next show, but hopefully get a little bit leaner for next time. And hopefully that's like the solution. And then I'll be good. So I got to say this too. We had so many podcast listeners and it always throws me off, because some of them you would never expect to listen to a podcast, but shout out for those of you who do. And for those that we met last weekend, it was so cool to meet you guys. So I appreciate the support. We both do.
Yeah, very much.
And we're very flattered to meet our podcast listeners out and about. So never be afraid to just come say hi. We don't bite. I promise. We do not bite. So, you know, hopefully for the next show, wherever that may be, we'll meet you guys too. And yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Kinda cool. All these listeners from everywhere.
It's a fun thing. And yeah, so we're going to go into, we'll do, we're going to do some more talk about shows that Ashley competes in and a little thing. I'm going to do a review this week of the show of the actual, the athletes. But as far as the show went for just the regular person, I like to talk about too, just the regular NPC athletes. This is one of, so there's going to be a few shows a year where I say this is a go-to show for you. This is definitely a go-to show for you. When you get the, if you win the open overall bikini, you get a belt like this. You know, the awards are super cool. You get these little, these diamond medals, and these little things matter because you're hanging them on your walls. You're keeping them forever. They give you these little bears here and crowns.
And it's girls only. So it goes quick. You don't have to stand next to the stinky boys pumping up.
Yeah.
They're so stinky.
Did you get a tiara?
Ew, they got cooties. Ew.
Tardigrades. They have full,
boys.
Full of
no boys allowed.
Full of tardigrades. The
no.
Well, I still have not understood. I don't know. I need to look up this tardigrade because it's going to be a thing. So I need to like look into
yes, it. Yes. Once if I hit 50 wins, I graduate from a cockroach to a tardigrade.
Okay. I know what they look like now.
They're so indestructible.
Okay. Is it that? Is it that?
Well, not literally, but they survive a lot.
Okay. So the actual show itself, the lights, the stage, the everything is really good. Sometimes you even have to look at stages like as coaches sometimes, because some stages will have, you know, cracks down the middle, or they won't have level, you know, stages and
lighting.
Stuff. Lighting, yeah, you know, so
man, after going to Japan and competing on the Japan stage, if you guys saw the Japan like set up the lights, it's so hard to compete other places because then I'm like,
they set a bar, they set a high bar,
they set a high, it, high Asia bar. In general, it looks like even in Korea and Taiwan, they do it big over there. Japan, Korea, Taiwan, China, they do it big, it's like epic,
yeah.
It's epic. So a little less convenient to get there though.
Yeah. So far this year, Wasatch, awesome show for the athlete. Clash, awesome show for the athlete. Muscle Contest has it down. You can pretty much go to any Muscle Contest show and it's going to be consistent. Same thing. Awesome LED stage behind you. I like this, you know, you're doing so much. I want you to feel like a star, you know, that day. Like you should feel like a celebrity walking a red carpet and it's like your big moment, or a Victoria's Secret fashion show. Like it shouldn't feel, you know, high school auditorium that's like old stinky seats with a vinyl back that has a bunch of creases in it and stuff like that. You know, these guys who are doing these shows and they're doing it right, I want them to be supported too. And you know what? While we're on that shows, for a national show, we had something to talk about with the national show that's coming up, NPC Junior National, Junior Junior USA. Which one is the top eight?
Nationals.
Nationals. Junior Nationals.
And they have a pro division alongside
it.
Yeah,
there you go. Okay.
Yes.
Do you remember the dates at the top of your head? I had a flyer.
June 22nd.
There you go.
Look, I think it's like 21st and 22nd.
Thank you.
So
for that.
The weekend of that show, yes.
Okay, guys, this is super important. This has never happened before in the US, and it needs to be talked about for all of you girls that are wanting to go to Nationals. So they are for the first time in the US. This has happened overseas, but it's never happened like this overseas too, which is. So it's really the first time in the world this has happened. Okay, so overseas, it's happened a couple of times where you'll win, let's say, an amateur Olympia, and of course, only the overall winner, or maybe top three in like a country where there's not a lot of opportunities. You'll win your pro card, and then the next day you can compete in the pro division, right? So you win your pro card in bikini, whatever. Next day you compete in bikini. Occasionally, it's happened. I've seen it happen twice where a girl will do that. And then get to the Olympia, like the ultimate, most ultimate weekend ever. Go in as an amateur, come out as an Olympian. It's just completely crazy. And then, so now they're actually doing this at a national show in the United States. But the difference is they're going to award it to all eight winners.
So that's going to be like a good portion of like fresh pros against like the seasoned ones.
What?
That's crazy.
It's actually scary.
That's like a cool experience that like the one day you just turn pro and the next you get to like compete with them. Like, that's legit. That's so cool.
And it's eight of them, too. So it actually is a little bit.
Yeah, it's like a good amount.
It's like risky.
Not just one, because usually it's just like one.
Yeah.
Usually it's just that one girl that wins her pro card and then she competes. But you got to worry about eight of them.
Yeah. And what's crazy is now the other thing, too, is you have to get it. They had to get that approved. of course, because now you have to give your, you have to enter the show a week before the show at the minimum. I think it's like, when's the cutoff again?
I don't know.
Like before, you know, the list, you can't enter past Monday at 3 years.
I don't know how it is for the amateurs.
Well, no,
because you're talking about getting your pro card.
And then the next day going.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
You probably have to sign something.
Yeah. So they had to get that. You know, that's something that's not not happening anymore, where you could enter a show kind of late. Now it's, you have to enter a show in bikini. The list comes out on Monday. There's no adding on to it. So this is something that's new. It's going to be really awesome. It's going to shake things up. There's going to be eight names not on the list on it the next day. So if you're looking at doing national shows, that's going to be a really fun one. You might walk in as an amateur, walk out as an Olympian. That's crazy to even know that's a possibility.
That is crazy. That's such a tempting thing. Like I would if I was an amateur, I'd be going for that one for sure.
So
I would be competing there. I'd be like, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity.
So that's a new thing. Mm-hmm. You can look it up on, I'm confusing NPC Junior USAs with Junior Nationals again. This is Junior Nationals.
Shame on you.
I know. It's funny as I get, they're always like, you always call every show now. That's why I just call shows by their state now.
Which is not a good idea. Either.
I know. I'm always like, oh, I'm going to whatever, like Utah, the Utah Pro Show. It's like the Wasatch. I'm at shows too much. I'm at shows every weekend. So anyway, so that if you're looking at doing a national show, I don't think you're going to get a better opportunity than that, because you can literally win and then all eight divisions get a pro card, which is awesome. And then you get to go into a
classes,
potential
height classes.
All
which may be division. I don't know how many divisions there are, but height classes. Yes.
Height classes. Thanks for correcting me.
Yes.
Yeah, eight height classes win their pro card. And then, yes, you get to go into the pro show the next day. So anyway, great opportunity if you're thinking about it and you still have time to do that. So just wanted to throw that out there because it's such a new thing and it's like, it's going to really, I think people are going to get really excited about it. You know, mm-hmm. Super cool.
Yeah.
So anyway, I guess with that, anything else?
Of course, Adam. I want to talk about like the show day experience and everything that kind of led up to it. So the night before the show, did not get a lot of sleep because apparently the person, and we also got to go through these comments too, Adam. Slacking today.
Okay. I'm on two things. One, I'm on a adjustment of time. My energy is I actually feel good. You know, I don't get tired, but my eyes feel the tired. That's only my eyes feel the tired. And then I'm on a post-show high still. I'm like riding that high and I think I'm coming down off of it next year one. And it was like, it's a good moment. A lot of energy goes into it. And then you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I think my mind feels a little like frazzled. I don't feel bad physically. My mind is like, I don't feel as intelligent today. I don't know. I'm a little frazzled, but in a good way. But the night before the show, did not get a lot of sleep. I slept 4 hours and it was like broken up 4 hours because the person next to me, I don't know, how do you even, he was like scream snoring. And it was a mix of screaming and blowing your nose as a snore. And I woke up several times and I had earplugs in, by the way. I have earplugs. So they fall out. And then you can also hear your own heartbeat in the earplugs, which is also not, I don't like that because it's, I don't know what's more loud, my heartbeat or the snore. But anyway, this person was, I mean, how do they live with anyone? That was coming through the wall, you know? I was just like, that was the loudest snoring I've ever heard. And it was a very strange sound. And when I woke up, every time I'd wake up, I wouldn't even be like, what's that? I'd be like, like startled because it just come, like, I think he woke himself up and then fell back asleep. And then once he like started scream snoring, like he would wake himself up again, but that also woke me up. Oh, that was bad. That was bad. But anyway, show day itself, I was, you know, feeling the jitters. But I don't know, I felt good energy, like a lot of good girls there to talk to. And it's funny because I kept getting so many compliments on my glutes, which, you know, every once in a while I'll get a compliment. Oh, thank you. You know, I mean, there's so many great glutes on stage and everyone has great glutes at this level, but it was to the extent to where I'm like starting to like second guess. I'm like, shoot, am I like off balance now, Adam? Like everyone's telling me my glutes are amazing and they groan. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I hope I'm not like off balance. Because you don't know until you see the stage photos. So I was like also worried. I was like, I love the compliments, but man, there's a lot. Maybe I overdid it with the glutes, which I wasn't even trying to grow my glutes necessarily. I was trying to grow my arms, but whoopsie, off season. Don't you hate when you just accidentally grow your glutes? Like, whoops. I mean, I don't know if I did or not, but I got so many like comments about it. I'm
from
like,
from pros too, which is that's the best compliment to get it from a pro bikini girl who's also you know working on growing the glutes. So
yeah,
that's nice of them. Everyone's pretty nice, you know. That's what I love about the pro circuit is everyone. I think it's of course it's competitive, but everyone knows it's not like you're it's not like you can beat them in a race or something like that. So everyone's just bringing their best. So it's like a lot more supportive than other sports, you know. So.
That's true. Yeah. That's very true. Do you find any good questions here, Adam?
Mostly just, honestly, it was just
all the congrats,
compliments
Thank
and
you.
Stuff. And
you
things.
Guys are so nice.
They
Thank
liked
you
your
so
look
much.
At Japan, yeah. You know, things like that. So not any questions per se.
Yeah, like a super chat girl too, sending super chat. Thank you for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what this means.
The green is super chat. Yeah. I know that.
Mary Beth, thank you so much for your super chats.
What is that? A super chat?
I think I that's know. What it is.
Okay. Oh, really? Okay.
I think so.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you very much. That's nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, anything else we wanted to add to that on top of that? Are we
I think we're good.
Show recaps?
My recaps are, I mean, I think somebody had a good question for you there.
Okay.
But no, I had a great experience. I had a great time. On to the next. Hopefully bring a little bit tighter package. Bring everything I did, but just a little bit tighter, which is actually really good feedback because, it wasn't like, hey, you need to put on some size up top or anything like that. It was just, hey, let's get a little bit leaner for next time. This is still an acceptable range for sure. But if you want to be a little bit better at the big shows, get a little bit leaner. Just a touch, a smidgen tad, nothing crazy. Nothing crazy.
Yeah, that's nice because it's not a muscle thing. You know?
Yeah.
When it's just conditioning.
More of a doable
like,
thing, I guess.
It's like
depending on the time frame.
Yeah. So a question we got today was about the glutes. How do I build the roundness in my glutes? My glutes seem to be round at the bottom, i.e. the cheeks, and the top, but flattish in the middle. And so, you know, that's the thing is when you're doing any muscle, when you're working out any muscle, you want to make sure to hit it from every angle. So if you do your delts and if you're just to do shoulder presses, you wouldn't do that for your shoulders. So you know, if you're doing shoulder presses, it's going to be primarily just your front delt, your anterior delt here. And that wouldn't be good for your mid delt, right? So you're going to do front, you're going to do mid, you're going to do rear, you're going to do that in all your workouts. So same thing with the glutes. You know, if you're just doing exercises that are going to be targeting on the lower glutes, or if you're doing exercises where you specifically only feel the lower glutes, then try to find exercises where you actually feel the upper glutes. And when you feel those exercises, upper glutes, start off by doing them a little bit lighter and make sure you're getting a good squeeze on the target area that you're trying to hit. And maybe start your workout, your glute workout, with doing that target area. If you start doing that target area and you're getting that area activated, and then you carry that into the rest of the workout, hopefully you'll have a little bit more activation in that target area. And in that target area, you're going to see a lot of it being like glute kickbacks, like cable glute kickbacks or cable glute kickbacks at a 45 degree angle. You know, abduction exercises too. But the key is getting it activated, making sure that you're actually using it. It sounds like you're probably doing it, but make sure you're looking at your exercise format, make sure you're looking at it and you're targeting the whole glute from top to bottom. And someone like you, maybe you need less specific targeted area on those lower glutes and more specific targeted on the upper glutes. And you actually increase the volume of that upper glute stuff, go through, look at your physique and make sure that it's aligned right too. Maybe do some corrective stretching if need be. There's other factors too, genetics. Maybe you're just more lower glute dominant. So there's going to be a lot of factors that go into it, but one of them is going to be if you feel it working, it's most likely working. That's one of the ones that I kind of go to nonstop. You know, I used to use these EMG sensors where I would put the sensors on someone and see how much activation I can get in certain areas, and it got to the point where I was using them so often where I was like, okay, where do you feel this the most when you do this, like on your glute? What exercise do you feel this part of your glute more? And then they, like 9 times out of 10, I would have the girl do it, the exercise that she said she felt it most on, put the EMG sensors on it, and it would 9 times out of 10 for her be that exercise that she was getting the most activation to. So the mindset part of it, that like muscle mindset part, it's like a real thing. You can, from what I've assessed, at least higher level people, and at higher level just means you've been working out for a couple of years, they kind of have a good self-assessment. So if you're feeling it working, most likely it is. That's kind of what it comes down to, really.
Heck yeah.
So
we also got a good question here, right here. I think that's a really good question because I didn't even go over right here. If you guys notice, I had the red suit going on with straight hair, which is the look that I tried to replicate from Japan. So you guys know usually I'm in one of two colors, either red or green. I did not get rid of green. Don't you worry. I just like to switch it up every once in a while. And I will say I am liking the straight hair for a few reasons. It doesn't seem like many people are doing it. And it's also super easy to style. I just need to make sure it's not super flat. So every time I do my hair, I'm going to have to bump it and make sure that like it's bumped up so that it's not just completely like stuck to my face. Not trying to pull off the Cher look, you know, need a little volume there, but I do like red. I do like the green. I think they both serve different like vibes. You know, I think like red is like a power color. It's more like sophisticated, I guess. It's more sultry. Bad thing about red. One thing I don't like about red is a very common color. So, you know that when you go to a show, you're going to have many reds. Now green, I like green. Cause it's more me, I guess. It's more fun. It's more bubbly. It's more, I think of energy when I think of green. For green, I usually like to do like my hair a little curl just cause it fits the vibe a little better, but I still don't know which one I like better. Green is a little bit less common though. So that's one thing I do like about green as well is this, you're not going to see as many greens on stage as you're going to see reds, but you know, they both serve a purpose. So you'll see me kind of switch between those two looks throughout the season, just playing around. Sometimes it has something to do also with the time frame of which I go on stage. So I do my own hair and makeup. So for example, if I'm on the East Coast where I'm already like my wake up time is already West Coast time. And if it's an early show, I'll probably do something straight because it's going to be easy and quick. Versus like if I have more time to style my hair and I wake up early, I might do some curls because those take a little bit longer. But yeah, I'll be going back and forth with those looks and maybe even trying something else. We'll see. But it's fun to play around with the different like looks of the show. And I think you said you like the red hair or red suit, straight hair better, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
A little. It's a vibe thing though, right? Yeah, it's like the red hair, the red suit, the straight hair. It's just, to me, it's like a more sultry, more, it's strong. It's a very strong.
It's a power color.
Yeah.
It demands power.
Yeah. It's very strong. And then the green is like classic. Like
more unique.
Yeah. It's Ashley, but it's also, I feel like it's a different energy on the stage too. It's a little bit more of a cutesy energy than the like sultry red, you know,
red
strong
is like,
power.
I'm all grown up now.
Yeah. It's just, there's just different. And it's hard to say which one's like really better. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know. I like them both. And it's, I'm at the same place. I like the red a little bit more, but it's not like, so it's not like blows out the green.
Right.
You know, it's not like you got to go red. It's just so much better. You know?
So let us know which look you like better in the comment section below. Do you like red suit, straight hair, or do you like green suit, wavy or curly hair?
I think the last show was probably my favorite overall look at the finals.
Oh, Japan?
Last, yeah. Like,
stage when I
look.
Fixed everything? Yeah. Stage look. Not prejudging, but for finals.
But
yeah.
Japan, yes, on your look, total look.
Yeah.
Japan was, that was the one. Mm-hmm. Combine those. Olympia, let's go for it. Let's go. Now, we'll go, this will be, I guess, be the last question that we'll go into today and we'll just call it there. So this is fun. Can a bikini competitor do workouts every day, not taking a rest day? So that is a good question. And it's going to come down to many factors. So remember, everything you do in the gym is always going to come down to frequency versus intensity. Okay. So, you know, Mike Mentzer, low frequency, low volume, crazy, crazy high intensity, right? If you can even maintain that intensity, if you can even do that intensity, most people can't even do that intensity. You can get away with low frequency, but if your intensity is weak and you're just kind of pumping, you're just not a hard workout person. Yeah. You probably can have higher frequency and get away with it. So you can work out probably 7 days a week. Now, the thing is, it's important is that you're paying attention to the signs of you needing a deload. You know, are you, you know, there's, you can look at, I don't know if he still does it, but back in the day, 10 years ago or so, Ben Pakulski, he was he's awesome bodybuilder. One of the smartest bodybuilders out there. But he would do, or for a period of time, I would say, he was doing like a deload every month. He would work out really hard for 4 weeks. He would kind of ramp up throughout the month. And then the first part of the month, he would deload. I think, I don't remember the deload exactly. I think it was like 4 days or 5 days of the first part of every month. But remember, he earned those deloads. I would say very few people are working out to that level of intensity where they need it that often. So it's dependent on the depending on you, you know, but I would say is this is don't get addicted to the exercise part of it. Get addicted to the results. The exercise part of it, you're not building muscle in the gym. You're only creating a stimulus to build muscle in the gym. And so always remember that more working out isn't always better. A lot of times it could be worse. So you just need to create a stimulus. However you do that, whether it's 3 times a week in the gym or 7 days a week in the gym, it's going to come down to workout frequency versus intensity. So
I would also say the splits of your workouts. Like if you're doing 7 full body workouts in a row, maybe not the best, but if you're doing like legs one day and then biceps the next, it's like, oh, you know, do you think that one bicep workout's really going to take it all out of you?
Yeah.
Like, you know, so that's something to keep in mind and as well.
Some muscles actually recover faster.
Right.
Too,
I mean, it's a biceps, a little muscle. It's not like, oh my God, I can't get out of bed today because my biceps are sore. Yeah. My day is just, I'm just so wiped. It shouldn't be like that.
Yeah. Like shoulders, for example, you use them all day. So like you're grabbing things, holding things, and you're always using your shoulders. So they just recover faster than some other muscles. So a lot of times people are like, I don't think I work my shoulders hard enough because they're never sore. And I'm like, it's not that you don't work them hard enough. It's that they don't get that sore because they're just, you use them all the time in your whole life. Your workout age is a factor too. If you just started working out, you're probably going to work out less. If you've been working out for 3+ years, you could probably need a lot less deloads because your body's just better at recovering at this point. It's used to what you're doing to it. So there's just a ton of factors that go into it. And again, individualized everything, you know?
And I would say, ask yourself when you're lifting, are you getting stronger? Are you getting weaker? Because that might be an indication like you need a little break. Because if you're grinding and you're just, maybe you're such a trooper that you don't realize how hard you're working, but oh my gosh, I'm getting weaker consistently, not just like by 1 week, like, oh, I'm a little weak this week. But if it's like a consistent thing, like, oh man, every week is getting weaker and weaker. That might be a sign to take a little bit of break or readjust your splits or take some time off for a day or so.
And there's tracking is what makes that important. So there's an app you can use called Strong App, which is a really good app. It's an app I use, or just write them down. I actually like writing them down too. But, you track your weights and you shoot for 1 more rep the next week or 5 more pounds the next week, or try to shoot for some level of improvement on a weekly basis. Even if you can't get it every week, you're going to get it maybe every other week. The more advanced you get, the less of those improvements you have. Otherwise, you'd have guys, benching 2,000 pounds after they worked out for 10 years. But, it's going to be a little bit less as you go. But as long as you're still making some improvements, creating that stimulus, you should be fine. So pay attention to that, too. If things are going down, like Ashley said, might be time for a deload. So.
Yep. And then we got a good question from Irina. It's a quick question. She says, what was least quantity of hours of sleep that I got before show and during the last Olympia? 3 hours. Because I think I was just so worked up tight. Like I was stressed, like anxious. So yeah, last Olympia, 2023 Olympia, 3 hours the night before. That's it.
That's crazy.
But I was just running off adrenaline after that. Yeah. Even though, hey, the good news is I didn't sleep a lot last show either. Like I said, it was 4 hours, but disrupted. I slept in the next day and I was supposed to train with you on Sunday and I had every intention to, but I slept in. Which is a miracle.
Yeah.
Anytime
Ashley can miss a session because of sleep, I'm all for it.
I will always take sleep over training. Even Sam knows that. I'm like, if there's ever a day that I just don't show up in the morning, it's because I was sleeping and don't worry about me. And I'd prefer that. So, it all worked out. I think I'm good to go now. I'm refreshed. So,
Yeah. Well, so thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. And we'll look forward to seeing Ashley on stage a bunch this year. Hopefully she can hit that tardigrade status.
Gotta be a tardigrade. I want to be a tardigrade.
Congrats, Ashley. It was awesome.
You. Congrats to you too, Adam.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a fun one. It was a little bit they're all nerve wracking, right?
They really are.
There's never going to be not.
I was even after pre-judging.
Why do we think that's ever not going to happen?
I overthink everything. Even whenever we'll get the best feedback after, we'll be like, me and you will both be like, oh, well, that's great. But because we're very critical, which is good, because I'd rather you be that way than just to tell me, yeah, you got this. You won. Yeah. Like, no, I want you to be concerned because I'm always concerned, too. I never assume I'm going to win.
Yeah.
I never assume it's going to be like a blowout of the, I'm always like, oh, my gosh, I'm in the middle, but it's going to be close, So we're always like on the edge of our seats up until they announce the winner. So, yeah. Whew.
It's so funny because. Every show, we do this every time too.
Yeah.
And it's both of
every
us.
Time, like no matter the size, it'll be a small show or
we never
assume.
There's been one show, because I realized this at the last show. There's been one show, only one show ever, where it was so obvious you were the winner because they like moved you out to the left and they're just comparing everyone else. And that should have been a sign to me that, like, oh yeah, she's winning this one.
But then again, it's like I wasn't in the middle. So
I'm an experienced coach. I should know this at this point, right? And like, I have friends there that are coaches and they're like, oh dude, she won. That's why they moved her.
No, I want you to be critical.
Yeah.
Cause I never want you to get comfortable or assume that we're going to win.
Yeah.
That's the way I think of it too. Cause that's what keeps me going. I can't lay up. I can't just be like easing off because I think I'm going to win. Yeah. No, I never think I'm going to win. I have to earn it. I have to work hard for it. And we won't even know till they call my name.
Yeah.
If I win, and you can't assume.
Even that show where I should have clearly known, I still stressed the whole time. Yeah. So it's like, I'm starting to think, okay, there's just no way that it's never not going to, it's never going to be a show where it's like, where we're like, oh yeah, that's a walk-off. I'm like, you know, cause after judging, I went back, I was like, we can change this with your pose and we can do this with that. We can do this. And so it's like, we're both like, we'll see what happens. Yeah. I think people don't think that though. They think that we're always going in like, oh yeah, you're going to win. I'm like, never.
No,
after the judging, it's never like a walk-off home run. We're like, oh yeah, in the back. Like it's never happened.
It could be a show with like 10 competitors and no one's ever been to Olympia. And I will still think this way. Yeah. I think it's a good way to think, honestly, because that's what keeps me going. Cause I can't relax. I can't ease off. Cause if I do that, I'm not going to bring my best each time. I got to be prepared for it. And after all, it is bikini and you never know who's going to show up like on point. You never know. Or some girl that you've never heard of might show up and just steal it all. Just like a big underdog. You don't know. It's bikini. It's crazy. So you can't assume. Yeah. I never assume.
Especially because that's how you made your first show.
That's how I made my career.
Yeah. You know? Just came out of nowhere. Yes. Out of nowhere. So anyway, with that, guys, thank you so much for all the support and love. We'll talk to you next time.